Welcome to episode 363 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, and Donna. Well, it's finally here. We've been waiting with anticipation for the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, and as of October 1st, it's finally here. Of course, there were some of us who couldn't stay away for that weekend. Lindsay and Sandy spent the anniversary weekend there trying to soak in all of the festivities, and they are excited to tell us all about it. So let's get started.
Yay. It was so magical.
It was awesome. It was.
I gotta say, I know you guys probably heard me like, I can't believe I'm going in the Paris. I never wanted to do this. It's gonna be the worst weekend ever. I'm so glad I went. Everybody was lined to buy merchandise.
I heard that the merchandise lines were everything and nothing else was busy.
The rest of the parks were great.
Yeah. We actually were in Epcot on the first, not Magic Kingdom. And I feel like that was a good decision.
Yeah, that was a good call, Sandy.
Yeah,
that was a good call.
Not that bad. It was really not that bad. So that was fun.
That's why I never went for Christmas, go to Magic Kingdom. You go to Epcot on Christmas Day.
I think Epcot is just the park you should always just go to.
Well, that's true, too. Well,
there's enough space to spread people out. But I don't, that being said, I don't feel like, do you feel like there was any, I can't even remember what our longest wait for anything was.
No, I mean, I don't think we waited 30 minutes for anything. I really don't. It wasn't bad.
It's probably the checkout line to buy merchandise.
I know we walked. Yeah, I know. Or to get in the store. I know we walked on Splash Mountain at like 11 a.m. the next day. Now, when we came out, it was starting to get a little bit backed up, but you know, if you get there early, you can still knock out a ton of stuff. It was pretty good. Very doable. Really good.
So as part of the 50th, each park had an iridescent icon, something that was special for each one of the parks. Can you go over what each one of them was?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So the castle obviously got a sprucing up and for the new fireworks show, but they also kept the iridescent projection on it pretty much the rest of the night. Yeah. So it just kind of shimmered and, you know, looked really beautiful. It had that big 50th medallion in the middle of it.
Glowing. And
yeah, that one was really cool. That was really pretty. But I don't know. I think Lindsay and I both had a favorite.
Oh, we did. I was on the bus with people. I was on the phone with somebody when the bus started pulling up to Epcot at night because I'd stayed in my hotel room and worked like a good girl.
Well, I worked by touring Epcot.
It was dark, but we were pulling around and I could see Spaceship Earth all lit up and I was audibly shook. I was like, oh! You know, everybody was like, what? It was so beautiful that
it was like jaw-droppingly awesome. It was so cool.
It took like an hour to get in and out of the park because we were just standing there. Every change a second, you had to take another picture.
We were like, we aren't going to be able to leave till they turn this off.
It was so beautiful.
That one was gorgeous.
I'm sure that the Tree of Life was amazing because that's always the show on there. It's always been one of my favorites, but we did miss that. I don't really know that it got dark enough at Animal Kingdom while we were there either.
Well, they closed at 7, right?
Yeah, they closed at 7. Yeah, so they didn't have the later hours.
They didn't have the later hours to see that. And then Hollywood Studios too, we missed the
Tower of Terror.
The Tower of Terror, we weren't there. So darn it, now we gotta go back.
We kept going back to Epcot.
We didn't see half of the things we should have saw because we kept going back to Epcot.
It was so beautiful. Yeah, that one was my favorite. Spaceship Earth lit up like that. I don't know why they never did that before.
I've seen the videos.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. It changes like every 2 seconds, George. It changes. And every time I saw it, it was like a different pattern. And then it has this little show that it does where it goes dark and then it lights up stars. And
they play music with it?
It did have like a little thing, but I don't know.
Like at the top of the hour or like 10 till they would do a little thing and it would shimmer, but
we're not very good.
It wasn't like that. I mean,
we're on the scene multiple times and can't remember what it said, but it said something. And all I was like, ooh, pretty. It did happen once when I was trying to get my picture with the photo pass guy. And the ball went dark and he's like, wait, it all went out. I'm like, did I unplug it?
Like, what? Are they trying to get me out of the park?
Get me out of here. But it was just that the little show. And then the, what are the glass pillars? What are those called? I feel like I should know what they're called, but the, where the fountain is.
Oh yeah. Right in front of Spaceship Earth when you come in. Yeah.
So the 50th anniversary statues, I hear there are lots of them. Is there more than 50?
There's actually not 50.
Okay.
There's 50 characters.
Yeah.
So some of the statues have two characters. There's what I think we counted like 35 or 36.
Yeah. And some of them are a little tricky. Like I took multiple pictures of Olaf before Sandy had to point out to me that the little gecko dude was in the corner on the bottom.
Pascal?
No. Yeah. No, not Pascal. The one that like lights the fire all over the place. Fire in the second movie.
Bruni. Little fire gecko.
Yeah, Bruni.
Yeah.
We're gonna get our first comments.
You didn't know.
Telling us all the things that we shouldn't.
Yeah, know. So some of them had two on them. A lot of them had two on them.
A lot of them had two, and then some of them were hidden. Like they weren't, like Tinkerbell is not kind of where you would think, and Abu is not where I would have thought he would have been.
The orange bird was kind of hidden.
That was a little hard to find.
Yeah.
And I embarrassingly enough walked by Figment I don't know how many times. I mean, I took pictures of Figment for like probably 20 minutes and didn't even realize
it. I wouldn't really call Figment hidden.
Well, he's right by that stand. That stand blocks him.
He's not front and center. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, he's not front and center. And he's not where you would think he would be. I would have thought, like we both would have thought they would have been over by their areas, like Dory, like
right.
That they would have been, but there didn't seem to be any rhyme or reason other than the fact that they did put R2-D2, they put the Star Wars ones in Hollywood Studios.
But they didn't put them in Galaxy's Edge.
No. So,
yeah.
But I think they were trying to keep them centrally located in places so that people weren't really going to every single corner of the park. And for that, I am grateful because that was my mission to get a picture of everyone. And I did get a picture of everyone. Had they been in every single little corner of every single park, I think that would have been a bit much.
Yeah. So Magic Kingdom was the one that they were more spread out and a little more hard to find, but the other ones were pretty easy to find.
In the center area in Hollywood Studios, right by where the hat used to be.
Yeah. Where the Chinese theater was originally, so yay, it's back.
The hat was in front of the Chinese theater, so it was closer to
the venue. Yeah, but you couldn't see the Chinese theater when the hat was there.
Life. So
we digress. Yeah.
Yeah, we digress.
So I saw lots and lots of people posting the long lines at Magic Kingdom on the first for merchandise and popcorn buckets and all kinds of other things. Were there any?
I have some bad news for people who stood in those long lines to get that stuff. They're going to be restocking it for 18 months. Everything that they had on sale there is going to be restocked for 18 months. There's some limited edition stuff, but not the stuff that was released while we were there. They said.
I did see though that cup you bought, Lindsay, has already gone up $10.
Like they did. They increased the price. Yeah. I don't know if maybe because people were scalping them so bad.
And probably.
I just realized what people would pay, I guess. But yeah.
We're a family podcast, so I'm going to say I had to buy a cup somewhere in Disney World to mix coffee. And. Mm-hmm. And so I saw that tumbler and it was iridescent and I figured that, well, that'd be better than bringing home like a popcorn bucket because I like the iridescent color, but there were 600 of them in the store. I would have never, ever thought. Apparently the day before there were knocked down, this was on the second, and on the first there were knocked down drag out fist fights over these cups. So when I was walking out of Magic Kingdom at the end of the night, all the cast members were like, oh, she's got the cup. You better hang on to the cup. Someone's going to take it. Like, what are you talking about? It's a 25-cent plastic cup that I'm embarrassed I spent this much money on. But it's pretty. It is pretty. But it's not worth $100 on eBay. Come on, people.
I did buy, when I was there the weekend before our conference, I got a really cute bag at Starbucks that was like a canvas tote. And I didn't see those at all whenever I was there.
Maybe that won't be restocked, or maybe that's a Starbucks thing. Maybe Starbucks is in control of that merchandise.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's restocked. You know, I just think they just ran out by the first, but, yeah, and then, but there'll be new stuff coming out. They've like when we were there, they didn't have the Dooney and Burke purses, but those came out after.
They did. I haven't even seen them. Thank God.
I have seen them. They're cute.
That's what I was like. Okay, the only two things that were going to get me in trouble were if they had Pandora and if they had Dooney and Burke. And sure enough, they had Pandora, but they didn't have the Dooney and Burke. So maybe when I'm back in December.
But I will say too, I know we keep hearing in the news about supply line shortages and stuff, but I noticed the weekend before, and it carried through to the weekend of the anniversary, that the gift shops were kind of bare. You know, there just didn't seem to be as much stock and as much stuff. Not that
right,
I really need a lot of that stuff anyway, but I really noticed it in Epcot in the countries.
If you think back to the 60th and how many different items that Disneyland had when we were there, do you remember, like, there was thousands of different things you could get that were commemorating?
Yeah.
Well, and I know, and I noticed that, you know, it was all mediums and smalls and extra smalls. and for those of us that are of any decent size, it was hard to find, you know, shirts and sweatshirts and pants and
when you
shorts.
Asked and they went like I was able to get that sweatshirt when they had a size that fit me, but I wanted the next size up because I know it's going to shrink, and she went to the back and she got them and she brought them out. But people were just like, I don't know if it's a psychological thing, but like, because as soon as it came out, people had to grab. It was crazy. It was like Black Friday.
You had to grab it and walk around with it just in case you wanted it, you know, just like they do make it scarce frenzy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they'll be restocking stuff. It's an 18-month celebration. So
there'll be something new or there'll be something better. I was disappointed with, which is probably a good thing, cause I would have bought one with the t-shirt selection. There didn't seem to be, I thought for sure that there would be more shirts or something, but maybe those will be coming out later, or maybe they came out after we left, because
well, they had those spirit jerseys, which I don't ever buy. So
it was a little tight because those are some of the shirts that I saw when I was there in January. It was the selection had not changed that much.
Yeah.
It was so hot that I can't, you know, God bless anybody who got out of there and was wearing that spirit jersey right away. You are a true Disney fan. ears, that was the other thing I would have bought was ears, but I didn't like the ears that they had, and the ear bands were kind of all gone, so I'll have to look at that next. But that's like about 20 minutes of our podcast about merchandising that George is now gonna have to cut out, so let's talk about something else because there's so much more. Let's talk about Harmonious. Let's talk about Enchantment
first. Enchantment, the fireworks.
I almost said it wrong. You know what I almost said?
No, I don't know.
Well, I've heard really mixed things about that some people didn't like it, some loved it, but didn't think it was as good as Happily Ever After.
Here's the thing. I think we're all spoiled. I think all of us Disney fans who have the privilege, and it is such a great privilege to go multiple times and have seen multiple shows there, are a little bit like that kid that gets everything they want all year round, and then Christmas morning comes around and they're really not satisfied with anything they get. And that's what I was reading in all the chat rooms about these, because granted, it's not, maybe we don't have the sentimental attachment to it that I had to Wishes, which I didn't even have to the last show, but I liked it. It was nice. Or Illuminations, which I know a good friend of mine, that's her heart and soul was Illuminations. And we really enjoyed watching that and felt compelled. We had to see it every time. But it was new. It was refreshing. It was different. And for the people who are going on their once a lifetime trip, or their once every few years with their family, or introducing their grandkids or their kids to Disney, I think it's amazing. I think what they did with less fireworks, using lights, it's more environmentally friendly, probably. I don't know. Maybe.
So here's the thing. You know, one of the things was you were supposed to be able to stand more down Main Street and see projection down Main Street. But one of the cast members told us not to sacrifice our view of the castle to be further down Main Street. And I thought that was spot on. Yeah. I actually turned around to try to see what they were projecting and I couldn't really tell. So maybe, but I do think there was so much going on the castle that it's worth doing that. However, you got to get there early and you got to plant yourself there. And
yeah, you gotta have a system crowded. In place to do the old school where you would go get Casey's for the family and camp out a spot. And maybe mm-hmm. it won't be that way after everyone's seen it once, because as much as I liked it, I don't feel like I'm going to need to see that every time I go. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I won't stand in that crowd every time I go, because it's crowded, you know, like it's really crowded and you have to stand there for a couple hours.
It was like almost 3 hours, wasn't it? 2.5 hours. Yeah. That's the longest in a long time that I've stood for fireworks.
Yeah. And then you take that versus Harmonious over at Epcot. And I think it's a big difference. I really think Harmonious was better. I like the show better, but I also like how Epcot is just spread out, you know, yeah. and you just get more space. You can wander up in the hour before, you know, kind of grab your last drink and settle in and wait for it.
Grab a drink right before it starts. I think it's safe to say, much like Illuminations and every show that they've ever had, you can find a place to watch and still enjoy it. The one big difference I did notice that's worth noting, unlike Illuminations, I do think that there are some better spots to watch this from. I want to be able to see the Stargate, or what is it really called? Because everyone's calling it the Stargate. Now I'm calling that. It's not what it is.
The big thing in the middle. I don't know.
I think you want to see that head on because you want to see those projections.
I watched some of the YouTube videos and that was my first thought is the viewing angle good everywhere around the lagoon, or are there some spots that are just not good?
So when we did it the first time, we were over on the bridge between the UK and France, which is, if you're going to do a fireworks cruise, you're going to be under that bridge. So my thinking was, if you're paying for a fireworks cruise, this is where they put you. And so this has to be a good spot. And I felt great. I liked the spot. And then the second time I saw it, I was over in Germany. So it was still kind of that off angle. I was never head on, you know, like you would and be.
None of the nights, we should note that none of the nights that we were there, not the night that I was with you or the night you were there by yourself, neither of those nights did it function properly the way it was supposed to for the entire show. That I found out later, we were missing like a big component of the show when I'm watching everyone else's video and photos go up.
So I didn't feel like I was missing anything.
Yeah.
But I came home and watched it and I realized that I didn't see some of that stuff. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, like I said, in the moment, I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything. I loved it.
Had we been in that spot, Sandy, we would have missed it too, because it just wasn't working. It was only working for a little bit of the show, but that's the one difference. You can enjoy it. We really, I loved it. I thought you loved it. We both cried.
That was like my favorite thing. I loved it. I went back and did it again.
Who's not going to cry? And I think they tied it in, and this is just me armchair guessing, but I really love that they tied it in with the Coco, with the music is my language and the world is my family. That is such a beautiful message. And I know everyone's been, it's not Epcot, but I think that kind of makes it Epcot. And I think that the music of Disney is something that touches everyone, no matter what language it's sung in. It all kind of pulls us all together and plays those heartstrings for everybody. And that kind of really special.
It was cool.
Anyway. I don't know. I enjoyed both of them. And I will probably have to see Harmonious multiple times next trip, just because it's in Epcot.
So the last show was the kite show at Animal Kingdom that I've heard some very interesting comments on.
Do we have to talk about this? I live streamed it because I thought it was going to be cute and fun. And I thought it was. But I think it needs something. It's a great little afternoon activity. Probably not as enjoyable for people to watch from home on a video. And I don't want to be unkind, but I would not have waited for that. Like, it's one of those nice things. It's 10 minutes every hour. There's only two shows. There's Lion King, which the Mufasa kite, I will say, is one of the most majestic, amazing things I've ever seen. That kite is like the size of a school bus. It's awesome. With the streamers coming out of his mane. And so that was kind of neat to see. But I think it's cute. I think kids are really going to like it, which is kind of who it's for. And the entertainers in the that come out through the audience with the little handheld kites and the sticks, those are fun. They're pretty funny. And they had a band playing to be at the beginning. But I think it's just going to be kind of like an interlude. I don't know if you remember the one Jungle Cruise show that came very briefly to Animal Kingdom and left. Yeah, that's how briefly it was there. I was talking to another Disney fan friend of mine, and we couldn't even remember what it was called, but I have a shirt. I have a shirt somewhere.
You bought the t-shirts and you know it was there.
Yeah, I know it was there. I didn't hallucinate it, but it came and went. And I kind of wonder if this is going to change. Although I have a new dream. Like, I always thought, oh, I want to be an Imagineer. That's got to be the best job at Disney. Driving the jet skis that are hauling the kites has to be like the coolest job. They're just whipping around and probably anyway, it was cute. It was cute. It was not, you know, plan your whole day around it cute, but it was cute.
So if you're in the area, the show's starting, you got nothing else planned.
Yeah, I heard.
Waiting on someone to get off of Everest.
Yeah, you're just gonna. But how they have to get the kites down is kind of interesting because they kind of like crash them into the empty bleachers on the other side that are right in front of Everest to kind of push the air out of them. So it kind of looks like they're, you know, going down, but that's just how they're. I was told later that's
wow.
When Mufasa went down, I was like, well, that's a little cold, but it was there were no hyenas. There was no stampede. It was not a part of the show. It was just them bringing
this the was the out. Worst part of my childhood.
I'm traumatized. Baloo went down and I heard that somebody that they went down in like a crowd all the time, but it's just a kite. I mean, it's like a soft. So yeah. It was cute. I'm glad I saw it once.
I'm glad you saw it so you could tell us about it.
And it wouldn't be an Outlander podcast if we didn't talk about food. Yeah. So what kind of special snacks did they have for the 50th?
The biggest thing about the snacks that I noticed was all the mobile order sites had a 1971 meal, which I thought was kind of cute. So it was kind of like, you know, if you were in this place, it was a burger. If you were in this place, it was barbecue. So it wasn't, that part wasn't special, but they all came with a, was it a cake pop, Lindsay?
A cake pop. It was a 50th anniversary cake pop. But here's the thing. Don't get too excited because it wasn't priced like it would have been in 1971. They were still the regular prices.
So. No, the cost was 1971.
Not the 1971 pricing. It was cool. I like the drink offerings that they had. I think I'm trying to think of what I ate food wise that was the 50th. I think I got a. Did I get a? No, I didn't get a cupcake. I was thinking about getting it. Oh, I got ice cream instead. That's what happened. I got an ice cream twist in Animal Kingdom that was banana and strawberry twist and had a little King Louis white chocolate thing on top of it for the kite thing. That's what I got. I didn't get the cupcake, but
seeing this chocolate mousse pyramid at the restaurant in the Mexican Pavilion in Epcot. That looks amazing. And like you crack into it and the mousse is inside and it's all.
And all the cupcakes seem to have like this gold film on them, like the golden. They all looked very pretty. I would have liked to have seen the little cake down at the patisserie how do you say it in Disney Springs?
They have that, I don't know if this is just for the 50th, but there's that ice cream sundae we kept seeing people walk by with, Uncle Orville.
That was a special thing because it was Uncle Orville's bathtub.
Yeah. So that was cute.
There's a ton. We kind of failed you guys on eating stuff, which is.
And we didn't stand in line for 3 hours for a popcorn bucket either. Sorry.
No, we didn't. That happened.
Yes. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Lindsay, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.